Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's Sunday morning here in London on a February morning in 2021. And this is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. And we are live here this morning in our Facebook group, which you can find just by searching for Turning Towards Life on Facebook. And we are here later on YouTube, now on Instagram, and on all the places that you can find podcasts. And we're so, so glad that you're here with us this morning. And this is, as we have been doing every week for the last nearly 180 weeks, this is a half hour, who knows where it's going to go, conversation where you and I, Lizzie, start with a source, some writing of some kind that, Lizzie, you have chosen for us this week. And we'll see what happens. And Lizzie, as always, I always say this because it's always true, I'm really, really happy to be doing this with you this morning.
Me too. Welcome, everybody. Hello from me as well. This is a glorious, excellent, important piece of punctuation in my week for sure. And it's an incredible thing that we're doing. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the conversation. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for telling us things about what it's like to be in the conversation with us. And this week we are bringing an incredible poem by Rosemary Wotola Troma. And I know, Rosemary, you've commented underneath us posting the source and that maybe you're listening to the conversation. So I just want to say thank you. And for everyone to know, I follow Rosemary, and I think Justin, you do too. And so her poetry keeps throwing itself at us through the internet. And it's such an extraordinary thing to keep encountering, the continual outpouring of these beautiful words from you, Rosemary, and thank you for being such an inspiration. And I know, Rosemary, also you enjoy listening to us talking about your work as if it's an extension of the poem, which is such a lovely way of saying it. And we feel that way too about anything we talk about. It's just our part of the intention as well, is to bring even more richness to things, to bring even more inquiry and conversation to something that already exists just perfectly in its own right already. So this is a poem from Rosemary, and we'll see where this conversation takes us. So here we go. And could I, like this picture frame, hold any image I was given? I think of the news last night, how I would rather not hold what I saw there. I think of what I learned just yesterday about myself and noticed how I would rather push the image away. But could I be like this picture frame that will hold anything, and in doing so, honor its importance? Honor everything, no matter how mundane, no matter how frightening, as something worth knowing, something essential to what it means to be alive. A soup can, perhaps, a petunia, or a scream. How easily the frame says yes to the world, takes it in, anything, with no judgment, and offers it what beauty it has.
Thank you, Lizzie. And thank you, Rosemary, as well. It's a real treat, I know. This is true for you, to be able to be in conversation in one way or another with somebody who writes a source that we choose. So I'm going to read as well. And maybe if you're in the middle of something, if you didn't do this yet, it might be a moment just to stop and to let Rosemary's words do whatever they're going to do for you as you listen. Because, of course, all of us who are listening to this are part of this conversation. And could I, like this picture frame, hold any image I was given? I think of the news last night, how I would rather not hold what I saw there. I think of what I learned just yesterday about myself, and notice I would rather push the image away. But could I be like this picture frame that will hold anything and, in so doing, honor its importance? Honor everything, no matter how mundane, no matter how frightening, as something worth knowing, something essential to what it means to be alive. A soup can, perhaps, a petunia or a scream. How easily the frame says yes to the world, takes it in, anything, with no judgment, and offers it whatever beauty it has.
Oh, it's so delicious to listen to that and to feel the... That's like being re-educated. So when you were speaking, Justin, I was somehow came back to the place of what does turning towards life mean? And in a way, this is an expression of that, because when I hear this poem in the way that it's asking this question of whether we can be with what is here right now and not turn away, I was thinking, well, what does turning away really mean? And there are all kinds of ways I think we can turn away. Like, we can get defensive, we can shut something off, we can withdraw ourselves, we can shut things out, we can ignore, we can deny. There's so many mechanisms to do this. Judgment, you know, is one of the ways that Rosemary says as well. And it's such a different orientation to notice that that's all there, but to remember that there's beauty in the thing that you want to turn from or shut down or deny, and to be in acknowledgement of what gets lost if we turn away, and how this line about there's something essential to what it means to be alive in whatever is here, and that we can be in life in that way rather than being ruled by our preferences, ruled by our triggers, ruled by our wanting to turn from in service of staying small or staying contracted. And so I feel really, really invited by this, because it seems to include for me all of the ways that I might turn away, as well as inviting us into something else too. So it doesn't say don't do this, do that, but it says, hold on, I can welcome this, whatever it is, and that it's essential to my being alive, and there is beauty in it. I can accept whatever beauty it has on offer for me. There's such a different way of going around as a person than cutting off our lives to a certain kind of shape that suits us.
I'm really taken, Lizzie, by Rosemary's last line, which is the frame. It's such an excellent image, this, because I'm looking at picture frames around my room here and just remarking on the very simple truth that that is the job of the frame, is to take everything, anything that's put in it, hold it. It's a really straightforward and powerful invitation, for me anyway, to wonder, how do I do that and not do that in my own life, in all the ways that you said?
Mm.
And here's the power of the last line of this poem for me. The frame says yes to the world. It takes it in, anything, with no judgment, and offers it whatever beauty it has. And here's how I was reading this, is that there's a reason why we frame things, why we don't just put them on the wall on their own, because the frame does something. The frame responds to the thing in the middle. And part of what the frame does, yes, is the frame offers to the thing its own beauty. So the frame has beauty that it offers back into the thing that's in the middle. If it didn't, we wouldn't bother with framing. If the frame had nothing to offer, why frame anything?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the ways in which I was relating to the side of Rosemary's poem, which is to do with, can I welcome things that are frightening, for example?
Mm.
Can I welcome a scream?
Yeah.
And if I think about the stages of our response, one response when something confronting comes to us is to exile it in ourselves. Like it might come from inside, the feeling of it. And it's to push that away and it's to go, no, I'm not a person. I won't feel shame and I won't feel afraid. And I won't, you know, to carve parts off. Another way would be to go, oh, it's just a scream. How beautiful. And I think that's insufficient because what the frame does is it takes the something and it says, what's called for now?
Yeah.
Because sometimes when what was coming up for me very strongly whilst you were speaking is both the how we might live our lives as a welcome part, which we've talked about so often, but also how we might respond, because there are things in the world happening inside us and all around us that where what it takes to be welcome is to bring our beauty to bear on the something and not turn away from it. Sometimes there's somebody who needs help, or sometimes there's an injustice that needs standing up to. Sometimes it is just loving somebody with all of their shadow and all of their light and not changing anything. And the language of offering whatever beauty we have is such excellent language for this, because it frees us from the demand that I have to do something, but it also calls us into the possibility that there might actually be something to do. There's a response that's called for here. And I suppose I'm drawing particular attention to it because I know in myself that feeling of, well, if I'm not going to turn away from things, maybe I just have to absorb everything. Maybe that will be welcoming. And that in a way is really just its own way of turning away. There's something far, far more alive. And there you go. You see how my eyes are alighting on the line in Rosemary's poem. There's something essential about what it means to be alive. To say yes to the world in spite of everything. To take it in without judgment and then to offer ourselves back.
Yeah. You know, Justin, it's reminding me of this story that a very good friend told me once. And she said when she was little, she had really violent feelings towards her mum. And they found her someone to work with when she was young to talk it through because it really scared her mum. And she talked to this lady. She was like a child therapist, I think. And the lady heard her, and obviously this friend had encountered her mum being afraid of these feelings and thought there's something wrong here and I need to do something about it. And I'm going to this lady to be taught how to do something different because I shouldn't have these feelings. And she said that this lady turned towards her after she told her what was going on. She'd asked her a few questions and she said, you know, the funny thing is that when you want to hurt someone, it means that you really, really, really love them, doesn't it? And she said it was like the most amazing moment that she remembers so, so, so clearly, which was that it named the thing that was really going on, not the thing that was manifesting itself as her behavior and her words and the things that were causing trouble. And it just popped into my mind that This is our, I want to say the word duty as human beings, that when we get brought the most unacceptable something by another human being or by life or whatever, thinking about the way that you said it, Justin, if I am the frame, it's my job to offer the thing back its beauty, like to be in relationship with it. So yes, remembering that there's beauty as well as whatever else is there too, but being the person who can see that and then responding with an offer of it is such an important part of being human. And it's so important that we do it for each other too. Because in that story I was just talking about, what if that intervention hadn't happened? And that person had grown up then not knowing that part of her that was loving had a place in the world, but that she had to shut that down. And what if everything had disappeared with that, i.e. all of her ways to be loving, because the way her love was manifesting itself right then had some difficulty and distortion in it. And probably some developmental something was playing itself out as well. But if we couldn't be people that could turn towards that and say, and offer it back its beauty, where does all that go? And so I'm feeling really moved by the possibility that we can be the frame. And as you say, the frame itself does a job. And actually, as I'm sitting here, I have some frames in front of me of family members and occasions. And I'm thinking, I'm looking wholly anew at the frames and what they are doing to offer, to be part of the way that the beauty is offered back in my direction. And so to have a narrative, a story that this being is a frame that can welcome anything, and in the being of the frame, I can offer beauty back. That's an incredible invitation and feels really, really, really truthful to me about being a person.
The way you're saying it, Lizzie, from that very wonderful story that you told, gets me wondering what it takes for us to step into the invitation of this poem. So what does it take to be, what is it of us that can be the frame that says yes to the world? I'm thinking, whilst I've got a book here on my bookshelf called Yes to the World in Spite of Everything, which is by Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl went through some of the most extraordinarily abhorrent experiences, being an inmate in a Nazi concentration camp. And then he came out and he wrote this book, Yes to Life in Spite of Everything, like yes to life, even given everything that's happened. So that it's right here in front of me. What does it take for us to be that?
Yeah.
Because it's, if it were just easy to do, we wouldn't need Rosemary's Words, and we wouldn't be moved in the way that we are by Rosemary's Words, because she's pointing us into something that we long for, and which I think is our heritage, but isn't just here all the time. It takes our care and our attention to bring it about. And one way that I've been relating to it during this conversation is the distinction between the parts of us that get afraid and ashamed and want to flee, and the bigger something of us that is itself a loving, welcoming presence that I think that we have, comes into the world with us when we arrive and is here all the time. And one of the things that's really easy to do is to muddle ourselves up with the parts of us that want to flee. So I think that I am my own inner critic parts, or I think that I am my own shame parts, and then now I can't deal with the world. So I forget that what I've taken to be myself is just one part of myself, and we're all way, 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 way bigger than that. But the other thing is that I think in order to step into the invitation here of being able to frame in the way, for example, in the story of your friend, is that it really helps us to practice doing this with our own inner world again and again and again, welcoming what's here, so that because so often when we're faced with something that we take to be frightening or to be turned away from, rather than something worth knowing, something essential to what it means to be alive, it's because we're actually turning away from something inside us, not just the thing itself. I can't stay here, Lizzie, whilst you tell me about your pain, because it brings up all of my judgments about myself and all of my shame about myself and all of... So I think that what just this train of thought is showing me is that in order to be the welcoming frame is a dual, it's got two sides to it all the time. It's both learning to welcome the world and learning to be a welcome to ourselves simultaneously. And if we do one without, yeah. If we welcome ourselves without welcoming the world, we can get into that state of, I just won't do anything for anything because I can just welcome everything. Nothing is called for. I get cut off from the suffering of other people. But if I only welcome what's outside, then I'm always having to cut off something in myself in order to be in the world. And we have to do both sides of it together. And that's both a tricky road to walk, but also step by step, a really life-giving path, because the practice of something's here, can I just stay? Can I stay? And open us to this line, because I've got this in front of me, this line is just impacting me every time. A soup can, a petunia, or a screen. To hold all of those together inside us and outside us. So I think where I'm coming with this is, it's not just like a state. It's not just like we'll read Rosemary's poem probably and go, oh, okay, I get it. I'm just going to be the frame that welcomes. There's a path that we can follow, and we also follow it best by being around people who do this with us. Mm-hmm. Like, we teach one another this, I think, by how we live.
Yeah. I was thinking, Justin, you know, so many people have like night terrors and times when they wake up in the middle of the night and things are frightening, or I certainly have that thing of, I'm trying to go to sleep and my mind goes into kind of all kinds of bonkersness, catastrophizing and worrying. And I know that the pattern I can see is that once we find a way to reconnect, that part doesn't have so much power over us anymore, that the fearful part that arises in those moments, I mean, there's probably multiple parts that are arising, but they seem to me to be like really frightened parts, really alone parts, really separate parts. And so it seems to me that because we aren't separate to one another, you can also be a stand-in part of my interior to be a welcome of the parts that I'm having trouble welcoming right now. So I don't have to do the inner job on my own, which I find really difficult. I can ask you to help me welcome some inner parts that I can't be with or that are causing me trouble when I'm all alone. And then I can also then internalize you as a part to help welcome things inside of me too. So I know that when I'm lying there at night and there are parts arising that I find really hard to be with, I know to invite other parts, which could be other humans, or they could be like an angel, or they could be my joyful self, or they could be my mum, or whoever and whatever I feel I can bring into my interior to be a part, to be with the parts and to welcome them if I'm finding that really, really hard. So I'm just really appreciating that we can help each other to welcome what's in front of us by being together in something and talking about it and relating to it in the same, by being in conversation with each other. But also it's all internalizable too. So I know that one of the things that happens either when I work with someone as the person who's the coach or the facilitator of the conversation, or I'm being facilitated as the receiver of that, there's all kinds of internalization that happens, like really healthy internalization, where I can, you know, Justin, if you're my coach, for example, I can take you with me. You know, you exist in here with me, so that when a difficult part comes, I have your support, because I've internalized you. I'm not separate from you. You're not separate from me. So I can have your heart and your voice and your willingness and your sensitivity and your welcome and your kindness, I can draw on that when you're not here with me. And you can come inside with me too, so that when those parts are there, we can be there together. I think that's one of the seriously beautiful things about being human, is that we are in relationship with each other to that depth when we create these kinds of relationships that are welcoming of all of us. You know, I would bring you there because I know that you wouldn't turn away from that in me. Mm. And to have that available in my most terrifying, catastrophizing moments of loneliness and fear, and like nothing's going to be all right, nothing is all right, places, have that internal turning towards, that's not just me trying to do it, but that is joined with other people too, is like a blessed relief, because of course those parts just want to be welcomed. They're happening inside, their imaginations, their realities that want something. Mm. And so if I can be there, but also other people can be invited in to welcome with me, it feels like such a supportive thing that makes moving through that gracefully and willingly, rather than letting it turn into even more than it needs to be. That feels like a big, big old gift of the way that we can relate to each other.
This is such a fantastic way of talking, Lizzie, to remember that our capacity to welcome and to bring our own beauty to whatever it is that we're welcoming is in itself an act of imagination and creativity. You know, whatever's here that I'm experiencing, whether it's a very, very strong inner feeling, like waking up in the, I heard it called once, the hour of the wolf, when you wake up at 3 a.m. and everything is terrifying and there doesn't seem to be any way out of it. And I know that place too. Whether it's that, or whether it's something that's surprising, or something that somebody says that evokes something in us, or seeing somebody who's suffering, or whatever it is, that it never just is one way. And that within us, we have all kinds of resources for responding. We have parts that want to run. We have parts, or maybe the whole self of us, that can stay open. But to imagine up, to bring to our imagination, to our minds and to our hearts, people who we love, who we know are the welcomers in our lives. Or if we don't know anyone right now in our lives like that, maybe somebody who came before. Like, I think my grandfather is one of those people who I call up. Or some other presence that we can imagine and feel a way into. And to know that that person, being, image, is actually already part of us. Because that's the heritage of being human. So when I carry somebody who I love or who is a support to me inside me, of course, I'm not actually carrying them, but I am actually carrying them. Because that's what it is to be human, is that we're touched by those who came before and those around us, and we're touched by stories and images. And you talked about angels, and whichever way you want to relate to that, that I can feel a presence here within me that I can call on, that isn't only interior to me because it's shared in our vast human and living collective. That's a really life-giving, necessary path. And it reminds me that our very openness to who we're around, to what we read and see, to the poetry we come across, to the music, to the stories, to our openness to everything, really, really helps us with cultivating this sense of holding within us and carrying with us that which will help us to stay open when we most call on it. So it's a self, if we're willing to engage in it, it's a self self-supporting cycle. And I know that I slept all the way through the night last night and woke up without waking in the night, but if I wake tonight in those dark hours where nothing seems possible, I'll take your invitation and see who's here that can be on the inside and can be with all the frightened parts and not make them go away, but can welcome them and say yes to them and offer back whatever beauty they have in their support.
What a such a lovely conversation, Justin. And I feel like it's, I don't know, I feel like this is it for me. This is like what my life is for, to be the frame and to keep cultivating frameness. You know, to keep being a beauty seer, to keep being a welcomer, to keep being a, what's the next thing to be welcomed? I just feel like it's such a lovely way of saying it. And this, the way that you talked about the frame, and I'm sure how Rosemary intends it too in this last part, I just feel like, my goodness, this is, I don't know, I just feel really open by the whole frameless thing. I'm really grateful to be in this conversation and how this unfolds into something brand new each time for me. It's really beautiful, so thank you. I think we're probably at the end of our time. So I want to just repeatedly say thank you to Rosemary for being the springboard and the substance from which we can speak and be in conversation. And I know what it feels like to have anything that I've written be in conversation, and it's such a lovely thing to feel like it's taken and something is born out of it. So I'm just appreciating that dynamic, and that Rosemary's right here with us, you know, when we're talking about the way that we can internalize and have people right here feel like she's right here in her part of the conversation. So thank you, Rosemary. So we'll be back next week on Sunday, as usual, here on Facebook, and we'll be later than, as Justin said, on YouTube and Instagram. And thank you for all your comments. Thank you for being with us, and we will see you next week.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.